Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
We all good? Oh, I can see people's faces. That's nice. Can you hear me? Thumbs up? Or celebrate? Very good. Thumbs up and celebrating. Anjali, you're on the screen twice. Once as a picture, once not as a picture. It's nice to see you twice. Everyone else, is just so good to be with you. Thank you so much for welcoming me. I really love coming down to you guys. And it's really good to be here in the physical flesh. Although I wish I was there in the physical flesh with you as well, and we were together and we were able to enjoy what God has for us together. But that's coming. And isn't it exciting that that is actually going to come? In the next few weeks, we will be together. We will get to see people. We will get to just connect with each other again properly and not over Zoom. And that is, we've done it at Trinity a couple of weeks ago, and it's just really been quite fun. It's different, but it's good fun. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about, I'm going to be finishing our mini-series on COVID and the kingdom. So we've been doing a mini-series called COVID and the kingdom, looking at how do we live God-honoring lives at this time during COVID, in a time where there's stress and pressure and anxiety to unprecedented levels, where the economy is probably on its bit of a rocker and different situations are happening to all of us across the board. How do we live a kingdom-focused life? How do we live in a way that says, okay, God, we want to glorify your name. We want to put you first. We want to love you and serve you with all of our hearts. And Clive looked at courage, I think. Was it courage? No, Clive looked at community. Duncan looked at courage. And now I'm here preaching on purity. And we're looking at what does it mean to live pure lives during this period. But let me just pray just before I start. So, Father, I thank you that you're in the room with us. I thank you that you come to meet with us. I thank you that you're the one that said you have started a good work in us and you will see it through to completion. And Father, I just pray that every word that I speak today would honor your name, would bring glory to your name, would bring worship to your name, Lord Jesus. I pray for you to be speaking into people's hearts and minds today, Lord Jesus. You be speaking into people's lives, Lord. You be saying what you want to say, Father. Holy Spirit, come and overwhelm us today, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come and put your finger on areas of our lives that you want to put your finger on, Father. Come and just give us a prod where we need a prod, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. So when looking at purity, I was thinking this week, like, Who should I kind of think about? Who should I talk about? And I thought about Billy Graham. So Billy Graham lived a life of all the way to his death. He was married to one person. He was always very strict on how he did his ministry. So him and his ministry partners always had rules about how to live life. They lived very pure lives in order to honor God. And I think that is part of the anointing that he had. When you listen to him preach, his preaching is very simple. And yet thousands upon thousands of people flocked to hear, and thousands upon thousands came to know Jesus, and the fruit has been lasting. And I think that is an essence of the purity of his life. But actually, the person that I wanted to reflect on most after the police is Islington this. Got the police flying by all the time. The person that I most thought of was Jesus. And actually, if there's one person that I know, every time I read about him, every time I walk with him, every time I just spend some time with him, I come away thinking, my God, you are pure. You are absolutely pure. And I just love it. I love that purity that just wells up and swells up inside of him. So I had a question. I had this question of, did Jesus ever go through a time of trouble? Like a time of, like, where he felt crushed? Where he felt like, how do I manage this? How do I do this? How do I go on? Was there a moment where Jesus was tempted in order to go away from what his purpose and plan was? And then I went into a Bible study and we were studying Gethsemane. So Gethsemane is when Jesus was praying with his disciples. Directly after the Last Supper, they went out to pray. And then just before his crucifixion and just before he was killed and put on a cross for our sins, He was in this garden. Interestingly, the word Gethsemane means the crushing place, because it's where the olives were crushed in a field of olives. The farmers would bring the olives there to be crushed. And in that place is where Jesus had his most crushing moment, and his moment where he was most tempted to go away from what God's purposes were. And this is what it says in John 12:27. "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." This was a place where Jesus was so pressured and so crushed that he said, "I'm in anguish, I'm in agony, I'm in trouble, I'm struggling, and I don't know, you know, I'm struggling with this." He was deeply troubled. It says in Mark 14, in that account, it talks about him sweating blood because he was under so much pressure and so much stress. And it talks about sweat of blood coming from his forehead. He was under real pressure at this moment, much like most of us are now. You know, we're under some kind of pressure at this time, which we're not used to. So how did Jesus react to that pressure? What he did was he said, "Actually, God, I know you don't make mistakes. This is the very hour that I was born for. And I want to say that to all of you. You know, you might not feel like it, but God has not made a mistake. He has put you in this moment, and this is the very hour that he has made you for. He has made you for this very hour right now. He's aware of where you're at. He's aware of who you are. He's aware of your troubles, your struggles, your hardships. And yet he says, this is the very hour that you were born for." And you have to know that to be caught up in his purpose. He has great purposes over your life. But there's also this thing called the flesh. And what we see in Jesus here is he does not give in to the flesh. Unlike Adam, who was given the choice, you know, to sin, you know, you can be like God. You can take control of this. Just eat this. Do what God has told you not to do and you will be like God. He chose the fleshly way and he ate that apple because he wanted to be in control and he wanted to be like God in that moment. Jesus took the exact opposite route. And he said, "My flesh is longing for me to go against what God has said. My flesh wants me to sin. My flesh wants me to go away from God's purposes. And yet I know and I will submit to the glory of God. Father, this is what you've spoken in. And Father, I will submit to you. I choose your glory over my comfort." And that is the option that we have. And that is the very nutshell of living in purity. Are you choosing your comfort and then trying to get everything your comfort, your way, the way that you think? Or are you going after God's glory and his purpose in this moment? And every time you have those choices, when sin's around, you have those choices. Do I glorify God? Do I worship him? Or do I choose my flesh? And do I make myself comfortable? And do I do everything in my own strength to try and make it happen? And that's the very nature of purity. Do you glorify God in what you do, or do you go after what the flesh needs and wants? And that question goes on in our heads all the time, all the way through life. You know, and that's the question we've got to come back to. So what I want to just do quickly is just say, how do we get to a place like Jesus was? How do we get to the position of saying, "Actually, I choose God's glory more often than I choose my flesh"? So how do we get to that? And I've been reflecting on Romans 8. And Galatians 3 through 5 this week. And what I've realized actually when looking at them both in parallel together is they say exactly the same thing about this. So I'm going to jump a little bit between Romans 8 and Galatians 3 through 5. But what I encourage you to do in the week is get into this scripture yourself, because I'm only going to bring some of the stuff out of it. Get into Romans 8, get into Galatians 3 and 5, 3, 4, 5. Enjoy it, eat it, feast on it. See what God has for you in these moments. But I'm going to bring some of the stuff that I think God has been speaking about living in purity through these. And the first one is this. So Romans 8:1 says this. This is a really famous verse. "Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 says, "Who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you into trying to do everything in your own power? Did you receive the power of the Spirit by your own good behavior or because you believed in the Son of God? The first point to living in purity is this. You have to spend a long time reflecting on the passion and the glorification of Jesus. So on the death and resurrection of Jesus and the victory that he had. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were saying, I'm really struggling with this. And I said, when was the last time you spent an afternoon just looking at the gospel? Just meditating on what the gospel means. Just meditating on the fact that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died on a cross for you to buy your freedom. When was the last time you spent an afternoon just reflecting on that powerful moment when Jesus chose love for you over his own comfort? When was the last time you filled your gaze with this magnificent picture of Jesus dying on a cross for your sins? And this is the very foundation that you have to build everything else on purity on. Jesus Christ has made you pure. Jesus Christ has paid the price. Your grace is by his grace that you are saved through faith, and that is a gift of God. You have pure salvation because of the gospel of Christ, and you have to start purity in that moment, reflecting on the gospel, filling your face with the gospel, filling your mind with the gospel, filling your heart with the gospel. And the second is quite similar. So it's knowing that you are saved and have salvation, but then also knowing that your identity is completely changed because of that salvation. So in Romans 8 and then verse 15, it talks about, so it says this, so you've not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now we call him Abba Father. And then in Galatians 4, it says the same thing about us being adopted as slaves, adopted as children, not slaves, to have freedom. And then it uses the same word, and we call him Abba Father. In Mark 14, when Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane, he calls out Abba Father. And that's exactly what Paul's drawing your attention to here in Galatians and Romans. Do you know that you are adopted by Abba Father? You are his child, a dearly loved child of him. I love the fact that Jesus uses Abba, which is the Aramaic word for dad. It's just him saying dad. It's the word he'd have used for his dad. He'd have just called him dad. It's like this personal relationship that he had. Abba, you know, you go, hey, dad, what are you doing? What are you up to? And he walks with him, talks with him, spends time with him. And then he also uses a more official title, which is pater in Greek, but father. And I think that's to call your mind to the fact that he is the official father figure as well. He is everywhere you get your security, your safety, your provision. It comes from Jesus. So he is Abba, he's dad, he's the one you walk with, he's the one you enjoy, he's the one that you do life with, but he's also father. He's your provider. He's your way out. He's your victory. He's the power. He's the security. He's the one that you meet. And you have to know these two things together. You have to know that he's the father that walks with you and the father that provides you and challenges you, provokes you and helps you to grow as well. So that's the place to really grow in purity, to have your mind focused on these things, to think about these things, to spend time meditating on these truths. But you might say to me, hey, but Andy, that's not all it is, because I do that regularly, and yet still I struggle. Still I am tempted to sin. Still my flesh is telling me to do something, and I'm just not comfortable with it. There is more to it. Galatians 5 talks about it. So Galatians 5 talks about, I'm going to read it from verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Do you see that? So we have this ongoing thing. The thing I've kind of skated over in this preach so far is the fact that Romans 8 and Galatians 3 to 5 are full of God saying, I've put my Holy Spirit inside of you. In fact, Romans 8 says, if you don't think the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, then you're not a Christian at all. So actually, if you have come to know Jesus, even if you've not felt the Holy Spirit has taken dwelling inside of you. He lives inside of you. And actually, what I want to say is, if you know that there is a battle ongoing in you for good and bad, where you're like, oh, I've sinned again, but then and there's that battle ongoing, then I would like to say that that is actually a confirmation that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. It's not against what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's actually, that is the confirmation that the Holy Spirit is there dwelling inside of you. I remember before I became a Christian, when I was 19, I was with a girl. I didn't feel any guilt every time we had sex before marriage. But she would always feel guilty and always feel this thing because she was a Christian. And there'd be this ongoing battle inside of her. When you get born again, God comes and lives inside of you. And when you are living in a sinful way, there will be a battle ongoing inside of you. There will be this ongoing battle constantly all the way through because the Holy Spirit wants different to what the flesh wants. And so you'll have this ongoing battle. So how do you win that? How do you win it? Well, the truth is that God says in Romans 8 that he has won the victory over those things. It says that you do not have to submit to those things any longer. You do not have to go with them. You have to partner with the Holy Spirit. So when this Holy Spirit moment comes at you that you're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. Should I be doing that? And then you should be battling it out. And then you have to say, okay, what does God's word say about it? What does the Bible say about this action? What does the very word of God, what does God say to me in this moment? What do the people around me say to me in this moment? And then as you have that conversation, you have to submit. And that's not a popular word right now, but you have to submit to the will of God. You have to say, not my will, but yours be done, God. And then you have to come to repentance, and you have to say, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I choose my own flesh over your glory. And then you walk it out. And as you walk it out, you say, okay, God, I need your power. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. You are convicting me. Now I pray that you would give me the power to change. And the reality is this, that God is in the business of transformation. So while you might struggle with something now, he will join you and partner with you in overcoming that sin. He will partner with you to transform your thinking, to transform your actions, to transform you. He will partner with you in transformation. God is in the business of change. He has adopted you, and he's going to grow you and change you and transform your life as long as you are a willing partner of his. You cannot do it in your own strength. The law was powerless to free you, but Jesus Christ came to bring freedom and victory in your life. I just want to lead us in some prayer. I want to lead us in a moment of honesty. A moment of openness. So let me just position yourself comfortably as we just pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you that you have given your Holy Spirit to us. I thank you that you said in John 16... that your Holy Spirit will come and convict us of our sin. And I just want to give you some space to work now in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray for anyone in this room, anyone here now, who doesn't know you yet, King Jesus, who hasn't accepted you as Lord and Saviour. And I just pray now that you would show them your truth and your love for them, Lord. I pray that you'd open their eyes and that they would come to know you, King Jesus. I pray for a moment of salvation now. Lord Jesus, we accept you as Lord and Saviour. And I thank you that you adopt us as Father. I thank you that you're our Father. I thank you that we come into Abba, Father relationship. And I just pray now, Lord God, that you would be speaking to each of us, Lord. I pray you'd be bringing things to mind that we need to repent of, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we just bring them to your feet now, Lord. And we say thank you that you are faithful to forgive. We're sorry, Lord Jesus, for our sin. We're sorry for choosing our flesh. And I thank you that you bring forgiveness, Lord Jesus, when we confess our sins, Lord. And Jesus, now I just pray for freedom in our hearts and minds. For freedom you have set us free, Lord Jesus. For freedom you have set us free, Lord Jesus. So I pray now for freedom. For freedom from that sin. For freedom going forward, King Jesus. I pray for the power to choose you, King Jesus. The power to worship you, King Jesus. I pray this coming week, Lord Jesus, when we know that there's moments of temptation, I just pray, Lord God, that you would give us the power and the prompting to choose your glory over our comfort, Lord. Let us choose to be pure people, Lord. Thank you that you've drawn us in, Lord Jesus. And I just pray for laughter now, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit does bring laughter. That you bring joy and a lightness of spirit, Lord. And I just pray now across the rooms now, Lord Jesus, your laughter, your joy to come, Lord Jesus. I pray for smiling and happiness to come, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're a God of great joy. And in you we have complete joy, King Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring more freedom, Lord. More freedom, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. I'm going to hand back to Colin, I think.
Thank you, Andy. I just feel that we should spend just a few more moments in prayer. Let God continue to speak to you, show you those areas that need dealing with.